Seasonal cleansing is a time-honored tradition in Ayurveda and part of a healthy, conscious lifestyle, preparing your body and mind for the new season by reestablishing your natural state of balance, hitting the reset button on digestion, and increasing your energy and vitality for the longer days ahead. Organic India is transforming the wisdom of ancient traditions into accessible, easy, modern-day practices to support you in achieving your healthy, conscious living goals year-round. Visit organicindiausa.com to learn more.
New to the living healthy lifestyle or a healthy living veteran, this is your place for honest answers.
Naturally Savvy
with registered holistic nutritionist Andrea Donsky
and health journalist Lisa Davis.
Hi, I'm Lisa Davis with Andrea Donsky. Hey, girl, how are you?
Hello. Good. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I've been kind of flying solo lately, probably getting carried away, recording lots of shows. So I'm just so happy that you're back. And today, it's just me and Andrea. I shouldn't say just because we are pretty awesome. And we have a lot of experience with the topic we're going to cover today. Andrea, why don't you tell us what that is?
We are going to be talking about perimenopause and menopause, one of my new favorite topics. So I'm really excited that we're doing this, Lisa, because there is so much to say and we just want to help so many people, women who are going through this period of their life that can use the help. So if you're listening and you're not at this stage or you're a male, please share this with females in your life. And by the way, males do go through a sort of menopause, which we're not going to cover today, but it is something we will talk about in the future. But if you do have women in your lives, your mother, your wife, anybody that you feel, aunts that you feel would benefit from today's topic, please share it because it's one of those topics that people don't talk about. Lisa, don't you find that it's a secret topic that either people are too embarrassed to talk about or maybe it's a generational thing, but we are changing that because we are going to be talking about it today.
Oh, definitely. And I want to add that you men who are married to women should listen, right? Because we're not just sweaty and cranky. That's just the tip of the iceberg.
That is true.
Oh my gosh, was I cranky. Holy cow. Before we jump into our personal experiences, I just wanted to share from this awesome book, Andrea. It's so good. It people don't get it because the title, but it's called Clean Eating, Dirty Sex, but it's not about dirty sex. It's by this really cool woman. This is my book. Sorry. Anyway, in my book, I interview a lot of great experts. One of them is hormone health educator Candace Birch, MA. And in the book, she talks about perimenopause and she calls them the roller coaster years. She writes, in the years approaching menopause, 40-something women begin to experience erratic cycles as ovaries start to sputter. Estrogen and progesterone levels fluctuate dozens of times a day. A whole new world of symptoms from hot flashes and mood swings to insomnia and low libido take women on a hormonal roller coaster ride. Some of the symptoms, and I'll tell you which ones I had. Acne, breakout, cystic acne. Yes. Bleeding changes. Yes. Decreased libido. Yes. Fatigue. Yes. Foggy thinking. Yes. Headaches. Yes. Hot flashes. Yes. Incontinence. No. Irritability off the charts. Memory lapses, I don't know. I tend to forget a lot of things. I'm not sure. Mood swings, yes. Nervousness, no. Night sweats, yes. Sleep disturbances, yes. Sugar cravings, always. Tender breasts, no. Vaginal dryness, no. Weight gain, yes. So, Andrea, out of those, what did you experience?
You know,
what has
been
very like
interesting. So, by the way, we've been doing a lot of research because we're going to be launching a brand new website. We're going to be launching a YouTube show very shortly. We've taped several episodes already. Really targeting women in this age group and men because it's important that we all learn it. And when I turned 47, I started getting hot flashes. And now I turned 50 recently and I am in full on. Thank you.
Happy
and I am
birthday.
In menopause. And I'm one of the younger women who are, you know, the average age is about 51 and a half, 52 in the United States. It's a little younger actually in other countries, which I found interesting. But a lot of my friends who many of us are turning 50 this year, who I went to school with, either are in this phase already or are not even, or we're all in perimenopause. Obviously, when you end, you know, after the age of 35, it kind of can start rearing its head. But the truth is that either whether you're in menopause, which means, by the way, is that you've gone a year without your period. And that is the one day that you were in menopause is that day that you've gone the year. And then after that, you are postmenopause. So there's a lot of information out there that I think, and a lot of misinformation and a lot of things that we don't understand or don't know. So give you an example, Lisa, I had no idea even what I was going through while I was going through it. It took me having to, you know, speak to my doctors and research.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't really. And it's, I found it interesting because being who I am and being very in touch with my body and being in the natural health industry for 20 years, you think that I was so on top of what perimenopause or menopause was. But for the longest time, I would have weight fluctuations and I would, for, I'd say starting in my, you know, probably around 42, 43, 44, somewhere around there, my early, because I had a baby at 41.
Yeah,
so by that, I was still having babies in my early 40s. Ah. But I'd say, like, yeah, 42, 43, somewhere around there, I started, you know, gaining weight and losing weight, like, in the flip of a switch. Like, it was so interesting to me and I didn't understand it so much. And then I was like, oh, it's, you know, I guess it's perimenopause, I guess. And then I have friends who are, you know, having very irregular cycles or are bleeding heavily or they're not getting their period or they're getting it every couple of months. So people are like, I think this is perimenopause. I'm not really sure. So I really wanted to open up this dialogue because it's part of my life where I'm at right now. And my partner, Randy, and you, Lisa, and, you know, you're a little bit older than me, so you can share a lot of your experiences. But what's so interesting is that we find that people don't want to talk about it. And even now, as I've been gathering my research for the past 6 months, is people who are in, you know, in their 40s, who are in the peri stage are like, oh, thank goodness I'm not in menopause yet. As if it's like a bad thing, you know? And I think we need to change the dialogue. We need to change the script. We need to rebrand menopause and really understand what it means and what are we going through and helping others understand as they navigate through this part of their life.
Well, for me, I had a, what's called, I guess, forced menopause. It's probably not the right word, but I had the perimenopausal symptoms, as I mentioned. But then around 47, I discovered that I had some huge uterine fibroids the size of cantaloupes pushing on my bladder. Now, if anyone knows me, I pee all the time as it is. It's been my whole life. So I'm like, this is not help. This is not good. Like, this was worse than pregnancy peeing. Like, I had to go all the time. And I was uncomfortable. And so I had a laparoscopic procedure, laparoscopic hysterectomy. I had, they took everything because my mother died of ovarian cancer at 56 and I'm 52. And even though I tested negative for the BRCA gene, which has to do with ovarian cancer and breast cancer, I just thought, you know what? Thank you. I'm not taking any chances. And I was already so perimenopausal anyway. And I was, by the time I had the surgery at 48 and now I'm 52. And I'm kind of glad because I got on hormones because I wasn't ready to just hit the wall, right? To be like, okay, you're, you know, I think I forgot medically induced menopause, I think it's called, but I think
whatever,
I called
it
forced. I don't think that's right. But either way, I wasn't going to just do this without any hormones. So that's my choice. But everybody,
you know, it's
has
interesting that you say that. I have a friend recently who had a hysterectomy, and, you know, even when she went in, she wasn't told what those options are, whether she could get hormones, whether it is an option for her. And she was put into, I think, you know, forced menopause is not a bad term, if whether it's a real one or not, but she was forced into menopause and kind of had all these symptoms. And she was like, she didn't even understand what she was going through, which was so interesting because it wasn't really explained to her properly. Oh. So had she even understood that maybe it's hormones, maybe it's bioidentical, maybe it's not, maybe it's natural herbs, that there are a lot of herbs that work really well, right? So it's whatever that is, we do have choices as women. And I think there needs to be more of a plan around women who are having hysterectomies. And I was asking my friend, I'm like, can I please interview you? Because I think it would be very interesting to share her experience so that she can help other women prep who are going to have a hysterectomy, right? So these are things that, you know, women are getting all the time. How can we help women prepare for it in different ways?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'd already done a lot of research. I mean, when I turned 43, I literally changed. I mean, my mood was terrible. And I'm usually a pretty happy-go-lucky person. I mean, I was really irritable. And I felt almost out of control. Like, I wasn't going to, like, tear down a wall. But I felt like I could. You know, I would just get this, like, and my husband and daughter would be like, geez, Louise, what happened to you? And then it would pass. And then I would get the night sweats and the cystic acne that I'd never had on my chin. That's a common place for hormonal acne. And I was just miserable. It was just terrible. And so I just kind of suffered through it, even though I know, like, chaseberry is supposed to be good for it. And there's other things. And for me in my life, and if you've listened to the show, you know, I have a child with special needs. And so what oftentimes happens is I'm just so overwhelmed that it's like, okay, you know what? I'll figure it out later. And then I have to deal with this now with her and this, you know? And so when I knew I had to have the hysterectomy, I'm like, just give me the hormones. Cause I really don't have time to like figure out, like to take weeks and weeks to figure out which herbs work, which don't work, which agrees with me, which doesn't. Cause I just knew. But again, mm-hmm. we're all different. We all
exactly.
have different
lives. You know what's interesting is I personally chose not to do hormones. And what I did was I've gone since I'm 47, so I'm 50 now. For the last 3 years, I've literally made it my mission to find something that helps with hot flashes. And I have tried everything under the sun. And I did try, you know, the Vitex and the Chase Treat. And I have to tell you, what I've learned is not everything that claims to be natural, as we know, is actually beneficial for us. And I think that's where it's important. And listen, I am the hugest proponent of natural. As you know, I have lived, breathed, eat, like right. this industry is my passion, and this is what I live. But I also I'm one of those people that will try things before I recommend things or that tell people to do things. And I tried that route. And
right.
now, listen, this is just my own opinion, and I don't know whether or not it's true or not. But I go every sure. year and I get a vaginal ultrasound, and I've been doing it for many years since I had trouble having children. I went through some fertility, and I just go every year to just get that vaginal ultrasound. And as I was approaching menopause, my endometrium lining, is it endometrium or endothelium? I always forget. It's the, whatever that lining is. I think it's endometrial lining. Was supposed to, as you go into menopause, it's supposed to get thinner. And I guess 1 year my lining was 0.3. And then I started that year of trying the Chinese herbs. Like I think it was Vitex in particular. And I went back the following year and my lining had doubled in thickness. So it became 0.6, which is not supposed to happen. It's actually not supposed to get thicker. And I was like, wait, and I went to my gynecologist, my doctor who I've been seeing for many, many years. And I was like, really interesting. How come it's getting thicker? And so I just kind of started thinking, what have I been doing? And the only thing I did was really try all these different things. So in my opinion, I think it's really important. Again, this is my opinion. I think it's really important that we just be very mindful of what we're putting in our body and do the research. So that led me onto a whole, you know, cascade of research in terms of understanding what we're putting in our body. So I have finally found something that it works to get rid of hot flashes. I am in the midst now, right now, working with a formulator. We're going to do some human clinical trials on it. And from what we understand, because again, using myself as a guinea pig, there is no hormonal activity that comes from it. So it's important that if we are doing these things, because there are a lot of products out there, and I've noticed this recently, that say that they're hormone free, meaning they don't have any hormones. Because again, we're talking about women who choose right. not to do the hormones, right? Lisa, there's zero judgment here on all parts. Yeah, I just want to be very clear about that.
Right.
So they say that it's hormone free on the package okay. or in their marketing. But what it does in the body, it actually can either mimic estrogen or create some kind of, you know, something to do with estrogen in the body, right? So changes in our body. So like phytoestrogens, like soy, right? It's a weaker form of estrogen, but it does play a role of estrogen in our body. So we have found something that has zero, you know, no activity for a hormone. It doesn't affect our hormones in any way, shape, or form, which is important. And I am now in the middle of formulating it. So I'm hoping, ladies, if you are looking for a hot flash remedy that has no, you know, that doesn't have any type of hormonal effect on you and it is hormone free, that I should have it hopefully in the next couple of months. So I'm extremely excited and I'm doing the research and
wow.
yeah, it's so exciting for me, Lisa, because I just want to help. I mean, obviously I was doing this to help myself because my hot flashes were so debilitating. Like literally I would sit there and I would get them all the time. They would last, you know, anywhere from 30 seconds to a minute. And they would happen like at one point every 5 minutes. And I'm like, I can't live like this. Like, this is no chance. Oh, like, gosh. It was so brutal for me. And I'm like, what is going on? And as I've come to learn, there are so many different reasons that, you know, we get hot flashes. And it was very exciting for me that I figured out something that works for me. And now we're going to do some testing on some other women to see if it works for them too.
Right.
So stay tuned, ladies, because it is very exciting times. And I've been talking to ingredient formulators and ingredient companies and, you know, who are all trying to make a difference, which is, I think for me, the biggest thing is that we're trying to help people in a, you know, in a safe way.
Yeah, that's huge. Wow. Andrew Donsky.
Yeah, no, I like it's it. Very exciting. So anyways, it's been an exciting 6 months to talk about it. But regardless, Lisa, you know, what you were saying about people, you know, let's talk about signs and symptoms of perimenopause or menopause, is that we have found that there are over 60 sure. different signs and symptoms. So you mentioned quite a few of them from your book before, but, you know, we found everything, you know, from, let's talk right. about vaginal dryness. I mean, that's a huge one for women. And the thing was so interesting yes. is that these signs and symptoms are, for many of us, embarrassing to talk about. Right. So it's something that, you know, either perhaps right. your mom or your grandmother never really spoke about it or kept it under wraps. Like I remember my mother when she went through menopause. She also had a hysterectomy, so was forced into menopause. I think she was in her late 40s. I remember her talking about the operation. I don't remember her talking about her signs and symptoms. And my mother, other than, let's say, her hot flashes. But what about all the other things that we, you know, that we experience? And I think for many of us, it is embarrassing, right? To talk about vaginal dryness and painful sex, or even, you know, mouth dryness, right? So all of it is connected, right? So now it's about understanding right. it. And our generation, we are not going into this quietly. We do not want to hide the symptoms. We do not want to be embarrassed. Yeah. We are talking about it because it is a fact of life. And the more we talk about it, the less the more we remove that stigma associated with it.
Right. Well, I mean, just having a book with the title Sex in it, I see how much blowback there is, even if the word dirty wasn't there. Because again, I make it clear to people there's nothing dirty in the book. But I think the problem is that there's this stigma about if a woman uses lube, then I think oftentimes a man thinks, oh, I don't turn you on enough. But it has nothing to do with that. You need lube because whether you're, you know, naturally wet or not, or you have vaginal dryness, lube makes sex better, period. Yep. End of conversation. Right. So I think, you know, like my husband and I had sex this morning and I'm looking for the lube. It doesn't mean we're not going to have great sex, but because we communicate and we do. But and we've been together over 22 years. So it's pretty good. Anyhow, he's like, please don't talk about me on the radio. My point is that we have to talk. And he's never been like, what's with the lube? He's like, oh, cool. Except when it's really cold. He's like, oh, cold. You know? So I should warm it in my hands first. But it's just so annoying that people get so uptight that we can't talk about these things. And a woman will sit there and endure painful or uncomfortable sex because she doesn't want her partner to feel like, oh, I shouldn't have lube. I mean, we need like billboards.
That's an interesting
lube
point
okay.
you're saying. I didn't realize
well,
that.
Celebrate
I think
lube.
The emotional component that right. comes with that's interesting. Did you, yeah. did you, I guess, come across that when you were writing your book?
I actually, to be honest, that's from Sex with Emily. I mean, Emily is, she does a great sex podcast okay. and she's on Sirius and I when she said that though, and this was a while back, I did my own research. I was like, yeah, this is so true because there's this whole thing of the guy's ego. And again, this obviously, isn't all men, yeah. obviously, but it's enough where the woman feels uncomfortable being like, I need this lube. But like I said, everybody, the lube helps. It just makes it better.
And by the way, when you are going through menopause or perimenopause and you have vaginal dryness, I mean, this is the thing that, and it's so important that right. you talk to your partner about it, because if you don't, then they don't really understand what you're going through. And you're enduring painful sex. It's right. not fun. I mean, as we know, and I had a very interesting experience yeah. and I'm going to share it and I'm going to be very vulnerable here because this is something that I want people to understand. So as I was going into menopause and I, you know, I went when I was 47 to 48, I went without a period and then I got my period on my 13th month, which was interesting. So I was in menopause and it kind of got shot back into perimenopause. Oh. Then I went another year. So I didn't have, I know a lot of people are having like a lot of like issues with their period. I actually didn't. I had very smooth transition, but I had crazy hot flashes and other things. So you can make up for it. But what happened when right. I was 48 to 49 is I went again a year without my period. And then on the same day that I had actually, it was June, the same day to the same month to the same day exactly, I started bleeding again. I'm like, oh, here we go again. I'm back throwing out back into, you know, perimenopause or out of menopause. So I thought it was my period and it lasted 2 weeks, but it was a very light period. And I've heard from other women that, you know, they either get very light or very heavy and whatever it is. And I was like, but wait, this is 2 weeks. This isn't normal. I think I'm going to go see my doctor. So I went to go see my doctor and it turned out it wasn't my period. It turned out that my cervix is very thin because I'm in menopause because of the low estrogen, that it was actually chafing. Oh, so when I would yes. have sex, it was chafing, which was causing bleeding. So this, I was like, whoa, what? Yes. So this is why it's important that we understand the signs and symptoms of perimenopause or menopause, so that we can understand our body's best. Solution for that was literally something to lubricate the cervix and basically help with that lubrication. So like you're talking now, I do a weekly thing, and it's another product that we're going to come up with, which is going to help with vaginal dryness. So literally I would use something on a weekly basis that would help lubricate. And there are different products out there. The only thing I would recommend is stay away from anything that has those, you know, harsh preservatives in them, but they work. So now I do that, and now there's no issue. So it's little things like that. And I'm saying it, ladies, because, and men, because I really want to help you, and I want to help you ladies understand your body. That is the important thing, because as we navigate this next phase of our life, understanding our bodies is so crucial. And something as simple as that, thinking, wait, am I in menopause? Am I not? It's my period. Is it not? And that led to a series of tests that I had done that my doctor said, who have an amazing doctor, a gynecologist, she was like, nope, this is just, you know, chafing from your cervix. So you got to do something to lubricate. And nobody had ever told me that before. I didn't know. I thought I was having a yeast infection. I was so dry. I was like, oh my God, I have a yeast infection. But it wasn't. It was dryness, which is, and then by the way, I would have dryness in my mouth as well. So what it, because everything is connected, right? So some women experience dry eyes. So things dry out when your estrogen levels decrease. Right. So it's important that lubrication, Lisa, is so important.
Now, is the lube that you mentioned for the cervix, is that also going to double as a lube for having sex, or is that a different? Because I'm thinking,
could yeah, well, we're definitely going to come up with something.
Because I use a natural. So we
don't
necessarily.
I don't necessarily use a lube, but what I use is something that it lubricates the vaginal, like the cervix, the vaginal canal. So so it works really well. So I don't need extra lube, but either whatever works works. So for me, it's about, it was also how I was feeling throughout, like all other times, right? So I would feel like, it almost felt like I had a yeast infection. Like, remember when you were young? I don't know. For me, I used to get yeast infections quite often. And I remember it was like, it kind of feels so itchy that you just want to like put your hand up there and scratch away, right? For lack of a better way of describing it. But it just felt like that. And I remember thinking, why do I feel like I have a yeast infection? But I don't have a yeast infection. But it's called vaginal dryness. It's called symptoms and signs of perimenopause and menopause.
Wow. Well, it's so good that you went to the doctor.
Right away, I was like, okay, well, at first I was like, okay, this is, you know, 2 weeks. It should be, you know, it doesn't feel right to me. So of course I have two, an amazing GP. I've got an amazing gynecologist. I've got amazing doctors that are, that we can talk about it. And I think it's important, ladies, if you feel something isn't right, speak to your doctor or healthcare provider or professional, because they can help you. And if they don't know and they say, hey, you know, I'm not sure, maybe this is or isn't, doing your own research is important too. And, you know, hopefully, well, and watching shows like our YouTube show that will come out very shortly on our Naturally Savvy YouTube page, our new website we're going to be launching.
So
we're going full into this because I really, really want to help people.
Yeah, I think talking about women's health is key. I really do. And I think when we can be so honest, I mean, maybe I was too honest about my husband's sex, but it's, you know, it's just, that's the thing. Like, we need to have these conversations. And I think they resonate with women because our generation is so different. I saw this thing the other day. Probably already seen it on Twitter. And it's so funny how this is about expectations too, which about women and how we should look. And I think that plays into that, like being afraid of menopause, right? Because that means that you're old.
Right.
Oh my God, you're in menopause, you're old, you're going to start sagging and wrinkling. They had, this is one of the best things I've ever seen on social media. It had a picture of Rue McClanahan
and J-Lo
from the Golden Girls on one side. Yes. Okay. So for people who haven't seen it, it said 50 in 1985, 50 in 2020, and it had J-Lo. And I was, you know, it's weird, Andrea, because before I even saw that, I was sick a few weeks ago and I was watching Golden Girls because I love that show. I hadn't seen it in a long time. And I was looking at them going, okay, how old are they? Okay, so Bea Arthur and Betty White were already in their 60s. But Rue McClanahan was like 51 or something. And I was like, gee, that's 50? And I thought, and I kind of thought back to like my, you know, when we were kids, yeah, that's what 50 looked like. And now we're expected to look 25 when we're 50. And I had to be honest, I'm sick of playing the game. I mean, there was a while I was getting fillers and I was doing, I don't know. I'm honestly like, I'm not putting it down and I'm not saying I'm never going to do it again, but I'm kind of annoyed. I'm like, I'd like to go back to the Rue McClanahan 50 because this is too much damn pressure and it's not realistic.
For me, I want to feel the way I want. I want to feel and look the way I feel I should look and feel, right? So I don't know if like, and by the way, Rue McClanahan was extremely sexy and it was the 80s. Like when I showed it to my husband, he was like, oh my God, like for her, like that in the 80s, like she was like, that people were like, wow, she's incredibly young looking and beautiful. But now it's just, and very fit. And now it's a different society, right? Of course. And I feel that it's our generation as we are getting older. We're like, wait, like I just posted something recently on my Instagram page when I turned 50 and I could not believe the response to it. It was incredible. And if you haven't seen it, you follow me at Andrea Donsky on Instagram. I'm going to actually be doing a video about it very shortly. Yeah, I'll put it on YouTube. And it literally talked about the fact that when I turned 48 around, I was actually stressing about turning 50 because in my mind, 50 was old. 50 was, oh my God, it's, you know, like it's that whole concept of age and what we've grown up and, you know, you know, what we've grown up to actually believe, right? And for 2 years, I'd be like, no, I'm not telling anybody because we have a young following at Naturally Savvy and, you know, young millennial following on our Instagram and everywhere. And I'm like, I'm not going to tell anyone how old I am because I always get, oh, you look so much younger than your age. And for the longest time, I'm like, okay, when I turn 50, I'm turning off all notifications. I mean, it sounds ridiculous. And now that I think about it, it is ridiculous. But I was like, I'm not going to let anyone know how old I am. And then I was listening to a podcast, an Oprah podcast on OWN, and she was saying, and what she said changed, it completely changed my point of view. And she was saying that she was interviewing three women who were in their 50s and 60s, and they were talking about aging and, you know, the struggles that they were having. And she said, you know, I don't understand why women hide their age. It doesn't make sense to me. She goes, because when you hide your age, you're actually diminishing all your experience and diminishing everything that led you to that age. Because when you're 20, you have the experiences of a 20-year-old. When you're 50, you have the experiences of a 50-year-old. And I was like, whoa, that is, I mean, of course, Oprah, brilliant. I was like, that is so brilliant. I'm like, after that, I was like, I told everyone how old I am. I tell people who don't even care how old. Like, I'm like at the store, I'm like, guess what? Yeah, I'm 50. You know, like people are like, whatever, like think I'm, but it was a matter of me changing my mindset and owning it. And now I get fillers. I love them actually. And I'm 50 and I feel like nobody has to do anything. And that's the key. You do what makes you feel good. But Lisa, people are getting it because they feel they have to, then that's a whole other conversation, right?
But I feel like it is in a way because if we were allowed to just age, like we could look good as we can naturally, but that's not allowed anymore. It's like it just feels like with social media, you've got to be 50 and look freaking hot. That's all I'm saying. I just find it bothers me because even my daughter's looking at me. She goes, Mom, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do any of that stuff. I'm like, no, I don't want you to. And it makes me kind of sad that my 15-year-old daughter, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to get stuff injected into my face. Like, it's not a good message to our girls. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing it. Because let me tell you, when my cheek filler runs out, I probably will get more. I'm just saying I envy the way it was before where all you could do back in the 80s was get a facelift. And they looked ridiculous. And so most women just kind of put up with their sags and exercise. I mean, I knew women in their 70s who were vibrant and looked amazing. And there was no such thing as Botox.
Of course. Yeah,
I hope I'm making sense. I'm saying I like it. I just feel like I don't like the pressure that women, I just feel like it's the standards are way too high.
And you know, this is one of the topics that we just taped on our YouTube show. And I think it's an incredible topic to have because I feel, I did a segment on City Line. I'm a regular on City Line and it's a national show here in Canada and it runs in the US as well. And it was about faceless without going under the knife. And what are the things that you can do to help yourself without having to actually have surgery? And it was incredible the conversation that came out of that because I had some women who were like, oh my God, I love it. What are you doing? Tell me what you're doing. I love it. It looks so natural. And then I had other, you know, conversations with women are like, why can't we just get, you know, age gracefully? And at the end of the day, for me, it's no judgment on either side. I believe that we do what makes us feel good. If you're doing it, whatever your reasons are, motivations, that's a different story. But for my motivations, I feel like I'm 30. I feel like I'm really young. But when I looked in the mirror, I was like, you know what? I'd like to fix something here and there and just look like a refreshed 50-year-old. And that's why I chose to do that segment. So whatever you choose is okay. It's what my problem is, Lise, more than anything, is the judgment that comes in with it, with judging other women for whatever they do, whether they get fillers and Botox or whether they don't. And that's where I feel that conversation has to stop, has to be had, but the judgment has to stop, because why make anybody feel bad on any side? Like, there's no purpose to it. Do what you do, be happy with what you do, but don't make others feel bad on either side.
Right. No, no, I agree. And by the way, there are great ways to keep your skin looking great. There's a whole chapter in my book, Clean, Injury, Sex, on skincare, and really emphasizing natural skincare, which Andrea and I are big on. And there's a lot, you know, I've noticed a change in my skin by using certain products. Eating is such a great way, you know, eating clean really helps your skin, the, you know, the essential fatty acids. I mean, there's a lot of good things, luckily, that we can do. But I think that this does tie back into that stigma around menopause and no one wanting to talk about it, because again, you're old, or you're seen as old, even though 50 is not seen as old like it used to be. It's still, it's, you know, well, we're getting older from here.
That's it.
I think,
you
for
know,
some women,
tough.
That's
and
tough.
So definitely getting your head wrapped around it. And, you know, I look at my, I have a, my father-in-law's in his 80s and my dad's almost 80. And I look at, especially my dad, I look at my mom who's in her 70s. Even that isn't old anymore, you know? And I think it becomes that, you know, that mental way of looking at things. It's a mentality, right? So it's how we, what we think, right? And how we perceive things. And, you know, maybe in our 90s one day, that won't be old either. But to me, I've got my, like, okay, so we're you know, my dad, he's super young in terms of his spirit. I mean, he runs around. He might have some aches and pains and some issues, you know, physically. But he is, in my opinion, still really, really young, and he's going to be 80 next year. So I think you're right. It's interesting how we perceive age and how we need to change that, because our generation, you know, it's not, I believe, and I'm hoping that we could change that stigma around age and own our age and not be embarrassed about our age and well into our, you know, whatever it is, you know, and now we're living longer, right? And we're living longer, healthier.
Right. Well, it's interesting when you say embarrassed, because lately I haven't wanted to wear short sleeves because I don't know what it is. And I've talked about this on the show before, but I swear I need to take collagen. I take it and then I forget. And then I, you know, I need to stay on it because I have this laxity because I'd lost some weight. So I have a little bit of laxity in my arms. And honestly, from certain angles, they look a lot older than they used to. And there's this whole thing of like, oh, you don't want, and then I'm thinking, well, what kind of, should I get an
exercise
arm lift?
Baby, strength training
arm, and that's a lot of money. And no, it doesn't, there's a certain, there's, you can do that, but once you have lax skin, it's hard to retighten. Trust me, I have talked to so many plastic surgeons. If I had it my way, like if I was like a billionaire, I would just get like, you know, when people lose hundreds of pounds and they get like all their skin tightened, I would love that, you know, look like a 25-year-old, but it's not realistic. But it's bothering me because I'm like, damn it, you know, I don't want to have to not wear short sleeves because I have skin laxity. And it's frustrating because I feel like as a health person, you're supposed to have this certain image, and I can lift all the weights I want. I'm still going to have that crinkly skin laxity because I lost weight. And there's other people who've lost weight. They have that too. And they never show that, right? There's, once in a while, you'll see some woman on Instagram who rocks, who's like, this is what it looks, and I didn't lose a lot of weight, but for women who lost a lot of weight, this is what it looks like when you lose weight. And they'll like show all this sagging skin. But nobody wants to see that. They just want to see, you know, oh, I used to be heavy and now I'm not, and now I'm toned and now I'm this. And I just wish we could be more real about, this is what happens when you age. Some of it you can stop through, you know, fillers or clean eating or health or lifting weights. Some of it just flipping happens. If you're 60, you're going to have laxity on your arms, right? Like, let's just flip and stop trying to fix everything. That's where I get frustrated.
It sounds like you have a dilemma. On one hand, you want to fix. On the other hand, I guess you feel you don't want to fix. So it's an interesting one.
Well, I'm not going to spend $10,000 to not have lax skin. Yeah. I just think, right? Unless it was like I lost 300 pounds.
So what's the solution? Is it coming to terms? What's the solution in your opinion?
Yeah, I think it's coming to terms. I think that that's where I go back to getting mad about the fillers and the Botox, is that I feel like we need to be able to age in a way that, because here's the thing, if my face looks really young, but my body doesn't, it doesn't match. And that's what's tough. Right? I look in the mirror and go, okay, I got this filler and I eat clean. I do all this stuff. So my face, people always think I'm younger. But then if they see my arms, they'll think I'm 65. So it's like this. And then sometimes you get on this thing where if you fix one thing, everything else pales in comparison. I don't know if you found that yet, but you have very nice arms, Andrea. So you're, but I think women who understand what I'm saying, whereas you can, if you start to do too much, you start to like, you get too critical about all the other parts of your body that aren't.
No, 100%. And even me, I was just saying the other day that I could see, and one of the signs and symptoms, again, of menopause and perimenopause is our bodies change. You know, my boobs are getting bigger. Weight is distributing differently, like around, it's more around, you know, my belly than other places. And, you know, that's a big thing. Oh, and I've never had cellulite in my life. And now I'm like, wait, how come I have a little bit of cellulite? Like all of these things, I'm like, it's so interesting how our bodies change. And definitely it gets me down because I'm like, well, wait, I'm 30 in my mind. I'm like, but I'm in menopause. Like, it's like that whole thing of like, Okay, so it's about self-love, self-acceptance, and working on ourselves to understand it. And at the same time, taking charge. So for me, one of the things I wasn't doing was exercising regularly. So now I've joined a gym. I joined F45. I really like it. It's HIIT exercises. I'm going 3-4 times a week. And physically, it's, you know, helping me, but mentally, that's where it has the biggest benefits, right? In terms of helping me from an emotional standpoint. And
right.
I feel like I'm working towards that. And yeah, I don't always love what I see in the mirror, but overall I'm happier and I'm happy with what I see. So it's like, I don't think anyone's perfect, Lisa. And I think your point is very valid. And I think that it's one of those things that acceptance, but yet accepting how we look because of the stage of life we're in, but also not being so hard on ourselves and doing something about it too. So taking action. So we don't want to just sit and complain about it. You actually want to try and fix it. And to your point, not everything is fixable. Like doing weights in your case, you're saying about your arms, maybe it can't fix it, but also doing a little bit of the emotional work, a little bit of the physical work, and all of that hopefully will bring you to that place of self-acceptance, right?
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. I just... the 80s, no. All you could do is get a facelift, gals. That was it. But at the same time, I mean, the options are nice. You know what I discovered lately that I absolutely love? It's called a lash lift. And the reason I love it is because I have long eyelashes, but they're blonde. And when I don't wear makeup, people are like, are you okay? Are you sick? Because I'm totally washed out. I have blonde eyebrows. But I get this lash lift, and they actually do, speaking of the 80s, they perm your eyelashes. It seems so crazy, but they put a perm solution to curl them up. And then if they're light, they'll tint them. And so it's not as thick and dramatic as lash extensions, which I haven't wanted to get.
Well, also, they contain formaldehyde in the
eyelashes,
glue,
and I like my eyelashes.
Yeah, I looked into them.
Oh, does it? Oh, okay. So the lash lift, I mean, I can't say, I'm sure,
but they don't touch your eyes. As long,
solution,
I don't think they touch your eyes anyways.
Long. It touches your
eyelashes.
Are okay, it doesn't.
But as
no,
long
they
as
have to
touch
put,
your skin,
it's very
fine.
Careful. Yeah. Oh, okay. But it's amazing. I'm so overdue for one. Every time I pass,
and how much is it?
Like,
is it an expensive? Is it an expensive?
I have got to get. It's like $90, but it lasts like 6 to 8 weeks. So really, I mostly would just do it around the summer because I swim a lot in the pond in my town. But the problem is you get kind of spoiled. You know, like, oh, God, I really want that look. Even my husband's like, I had my lash lift and I had my eyebrows darkened. And he was like, it's unbelievable. And usually men are like, oh, you look fine the way you are. And he wasn't saying I don't, but he's like, yeah, that does look better. Because when you have the light, it kind of just, you know, blends in with the rest of your face. So there are definitely things that
I
think
are great.
Well,
if you can afford it and it makes you feel
good, that's one of them. And,
right?
Yeah.
If it's making you feel good.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. A lot of stuff to think about as we're getting older. The other night I was on, you know, when I'm standing up, I look great. But gravity, when I sit down, all of a sudden, like that extra hips that I seem to have now and a little bit of extra stomach since turning 52. My daughter was like poking my side and I'm like, stop it. She was just trying to tickle me, but I immediately am like self-conscious. I'm like, I'm going to tuck this back in my pants.
Oh, yeah.
That middle age spread is real. Even if you take good care of I exercise every day. I lift weights. I walk my dogs for hours. I eat well, but you know, some of us just have a little more.
Yeah, and it settles around the midsection. And I, like I said, for me too. And I could see
yes
the difference in terms of how my clothes fit me or when I'm on camera, I could see. I'm like, oh, okay.
Right.
So there are things that we could do. I've been doing a lot of reading lately about our liver and doing liver cleanses because our liver takes the brunt of so much. And oh. I'm now on a liver cleanse at this moment. And I feel better, I have to say. And I'm feeling that a little more energy and the liver, the emotion, anger is the emotion of the liver. So a lot of women at this time of our life, as we enter into perimenopause and menopause, is, you know, perhaps we haven't done a liver cleanse, or perhaps, and by the way, hot flashes a lot of the time could be because of, you know, of an overburdened liver. So even thinking about little things that you can do daily to keep your liver healthy, like drinking, you know, a glass of lemon water in the morning upon rising, drinking 16 ounces when you wake up, it helps to flush everything out from sleeping the night before, or even avoiding fats before noon, giving our liver a break from digestion. So little things like that can make a, have a big impact on our liver, which all is tied into several of those symptoms of being in menopause and perimenopause, like the hot flashes, like, you know, mood. You know, my husband would say to me, my kids be like, you're always so angry and mad. I'm like, no, I actually wake up in a great mood. It's all of you who piss me off, you know, and everybody laughs. And I'm like, but it's true. I wake up really happy. So, you know, my husband's like, maybe it's your threshold. I'm like, yeah, it's probably my threshold. So I knew, I'm like, liver cleanse.
Yeah.
Yep, liver cleanse. And I'm feeling better.
It's tough. We only have a few more minutes, but tell us, like, when you say you're doing the liver cleanse, are you actually taking supplements, or are you just like not eating the fats in the morning and drinking the lemon
water? So I'm doing a more advanced cleanse. I'm doing one from Medical Medium, his 369 liver. He has a great book called Liver Rescue. So it's his, yeah. So I'm doing his Liver Rescue 369, and I'm on day 5 today. It's a 9-day cleanse. So I'm on day 5, and it's with food. So you basically start your first 3 days. It's really just bringing down the amount of fat in your diet, because there are a lot of diets out there. And this is a whole other topic, by the way, that we should absolutely do a show on, is about the liver and liver cleansing and just cleansing in general. But our liver gets overburdened. And when you eat a lot of fat, especially people who are on keto diets for long term, you know, for the long term, is our liver gets overburdened because it has to always digest that fat, right? So we need to give our liver a break from eating high fats, even good fats, even good avocado. Like every once in a while, we just got to like give it a break and let it, you know, take down the amount of fat you're eating in the diet. Even if you're cutting it by 50% and just eating it at dinner, that will make a big difference on your liver. So just giving it a break and allowing, eating good foods like Brussels sprouts and broccoli that contains sulfur that help the liver cleanse, or garlic that helps the liver cleanse. It removes, you know, it helps to get rid of pathogens in the liver. So things like that, apples, dates, dragon fruit. So there are a lot of fruits that really help the liver heal and protect it and help it regenerate. So I'm just doing that. I'm focusing on food right now and I feel a lot better.
Oh, that's great. Well, see, I have an avocado.
Maybe wait till noon. Maybe wait till noon to have
breakfast.
It and so drink your water. See if it makes a difference. See if you feel something that's a little, if you feel a little bit different or less irritable or less anxious or whatever it is.
Yeah. No, I'm fine until I talk about this topic about the beauty stuff. And then I get irate. At any rate, this has been such a great conversation. And if anyone wants to tweet or comment, you can find me at Lisa Davis, MPH. So glad, Andrea, that I finally have a Twitter handle that makes sense. And Andrea's at Andrea Donsky, at Naturally Savvy. And we're just so thrilled that you're listening. Andrea, I can't wait for all your new stuff. I should let people know I'm not part of the TV show. I'm so bummed. I wish we lived nearby because it's breaking my heart. But maybe you can get me on Skype or something.
We have to do it. Yeah, no, it's really exciting. I've interviewed a geneticist. I've interviewed body image experts. I've interviewed women talking about beauty. We talked about, you know, makeup. We talked about, you know, fillers and Botox and all these things. So it's all the different topics related to this. So I'd love to hear from you as well. Message me on Instagram or tweet us at Andrea Donsky, at Naturally Savvy, and let us know if there's any topics you want us to talk about when it comes to perimenopause and menopause, because we're doing this and I'm very excited and grateful to be doing it.
Awesome. Me too. Well, I want to thank everyone for listening. And you can, again, find us at Lisa Davis MPH, at Andrea Donsky, at Andrea Donsky. You know, I was putting together Naturally and Andrea. See, that was pretty good. At Naturally Savvy, at Your Radio MD. Thank you so much for listening and stay well. Seasonal cleansing is a time-honored tradition in Ayurveda and part of a healthy, conscious lifestyle, preparing your body and mind for the new season by reestablishing your natural state of balance, hitting the reset button on digestion, and increasing your energy and vitality for the longer days ahead. Organic India is transforming the wisdom of ancient traditions into accessible, easy, modern-day practices to support you in achieving your healthy, conscious living goals year-round. Visit organicindiausa.com to learn more.